You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The manger occupied an important place in the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. It was an ordinary manger, the kind shepherds knew very well. They used those little mangers, simply made, usually carved out of stone, to feed the flocks of sheep and goats in their care. The manger was mentioned a couple of times by the angel, who told the shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night, "Today a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ the Lord, in the city of David. This is a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Then came the appearance of a large number of the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory in the highest to God, and on earth peace to all people to whom God has shown his good will." The shepherds considered the matter and decided to go to Bethlehem in order to see whether this word had come true, which the Lord had made known to them. They picked up and went as quickly as they could and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. Through the years, that manger has caused a lot of controversy. People who didn't like the story to begin with were all ready to say, "Away with the manger." Even during his lifetime, there were those who poked fun at the story of Jesus' birth. Sarcastically, they asked, "Who is he to claim that he's the promised Messiah? Isn't he the carpenter's son?" It was a roundabout way of saying that they did not believe a word of that story about the birth of Jesus to a virgin named Mary, especially when there was a man standing around there at the manger side named Joseph, who was known to be betrothed to this young marriageable woman. The world has picked up on that theme down through the centuries, maybe not always with the same indelicate sarcasm found among some of the religious and irreligious contemporaries of Jesus, but with the same effect: "Away with the manger. It's unexpected and hard to believe that the Son of God, the promised Messiah, would be born as human beings are born and would have to be laid for his first resting place in a manger located in a stable, because there was no room either for the mother or for her baby in the inn. It was a kind of special favor to both mother and child that they were allowed to take up space in the corner of that stable, reserved by the innkeeper for the sheep or other animals that travelers brought along with them to the city, as many travelers do today in that part of the world. Mary and Joseph accepted the favor gratefully, never realizing that the little manger, which became the first crib for Mary's baby, would be the center of swirling arguments right up to the foot of a cross and down the corridors of time to a decision of the United States Supreme Court toward the end of the 20th century. Little did Mary and Joseph imagine that the whole world would reckon its time from the moment of that manger. In December of 1223, Francis of Assisi, a bearded friar, wanted to make the celebration of Christmas more real for himself and also for his friends and all the townfolk where he lived. He was a great lover of animals. St. Francis came up with the idea of having people and animals pose in a tableau in a stable in much the same way as the events took place in Bethlehem on that first Christmas. He put the first manger scene together. The whole scene was real and beautiful. People dressed up as nativity characters with real animals gathered around the manger. St. Francis then read the gospel account of Jesus' birth from St. Luke. "This very day in David's town your Savior was born, Christ the Lord. This is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angel, singing praises to God, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in the manger. St. Francis and all the people were moved. They were ready to sing the Christmas angel song themselves. God came down for them from heaven to earth. They could understand God's love so much better. They felt almost as though they were at Jesus' birth themselves, caught up in its joy and gladness. From that time on, manger scenes have become a familiar sight throughout the world. In Italy, I understand, you can see manger scenes the year round. In the United States of America, the whole thing has become the subject of court trial and controversy. People argue about the manger. The real resentment, of course, is against the baby represented in that manger. That's what the story is really all about. It's not about the manger. It's about Jesus Christ, the baby born in Bethlehem and laid in that little manger. If you resent him, you're going to resent the manger. If you love him, you're probably going to love the manger. Do people who love Christ have the right to impose that love upon others? No, they do not. Christ did not impose himself upon anyone. He does not impose himself upon people now. They can reject him if they wish. That's their privilege. People have the right to espouse a different faith or no faith at all. The insistent assertion of that right has often crowded people who follow Jesus Christ into a corner where they're hesitant to avow their faith in Christ publicly and to proclaim publicly with confidence that Jesus Christ is Lord. The result is that the Redeemer of the world, not to speak about its Creator, often has been ignored or even denied in order to take into account the sensitivities of those who might feel otherwise. Speaking for the majority of the United States Supreme Court on a 6-3 vote, Chief Justice Warren E. Burger stated, "Tax-financed displays marking the birth of Christ do not unconstitutionally benefit religion any more than do religious paintings in public museums, One Nation Under God in the Pledge of Allegiance, or In God We Trust on United States coins." Civil liberties attorney Amato A. DeLuca said the nativity scene is one of the most powerful religious symbols in the country. By putting up such a display, he said, a local government aligns itself with religion. Both of these conclusions are human opinions with which you may agree or disagree, either in whole or in part. The torturous legal argument, however, has to do with a religious symbol, a manger. Many of those who defended the manger's place in a public setting claimed that it is not an important religious symbol at all. Those who said it is the most important religious symbol of all were opposed to having the manger in public places. The irony of it all is that both sides seem to be saying the same thing: away with the manger. I'm not going to engage today in an argument about religious symbols. I want to talk about the real manger, the one in which the Lord Christ was laid, where the shepherds found him and worshipped him. I'm more concerned about what sometimes passes for religion and turns out to be just trees, lights, cards, concerts, plays, pageants, special foods, gifts, and get-togethers of family and friends. These may be good activities, but preoccupation with them often puts the manger into the background. I've seen good Christian people send cards that glorify Santa Claus and wish people season's greetings or something else that avoids the name and even the mention of Jesus Christ. It can easily become just another subtle manner of saying, away with the manger. More important than any argument about the manger as a symbol are the actions and the attitudes of people at Christmas time. They do not always square with the facts of Christmas. People rush around. There's increased tension. They're apt to become more impatient with one another. At times, tempers flare. People hurt each other more at Christmas than maybe at any other time of the year. I've seen it happen again and again. So much that is extraneous and unimportant has entered into the celebration of Christmas that some people have suggested seriously, perhaps too seriously, that Christmas ought to be dropped altogether. In some cases, this suggestion represents a desire to get back to the real meaning of Christmas. At other times, it becomes the expression of a bitterness that pervades the world. Christmas. Who cares about Christmas? As far as we are concerned, Santa Claus is dead. Christmas is not Santa Claus. I'm told that many more Santa Clauses are going to be unemployed this year than ever before. Shoppers are so intent on buying things in stores at Christmas time that there's no time for Santa anymore. He just takes up space needed to display and sell more things. Even Santa can't compete with the secularization of Christmas. Christmas is a good time to rejoice. Something happened in that stable. A real person was placed in that manger. He's the one who gives Christmas its meaning. God speaks to us in that baby born at Bethlehem, wrapped in the cloths his mother had prepared for the purpose, and laid in the straw which covered the stone carved out for that manger. God says in that baby to the whole world, "No matter what others say of you or what you think of yourself, I love you. I love you in spite of what you are and what you have done or failed to do. You have missed the mark, and I have hit the mark for you." God does not force his love upon you. Even when you say no to him, the mighty God keeps on saying yes to you. Isn't it about time that you listen to God, that you say yes to him? At the center of the universe, there's not just an impersonal force. Life is not governed by the unfeeling stars. You are surrounded not so much by whirling, exploding matter, but by the personal presence of the creating and redeeming God who loves you. You are deeply loved. That's the message of the manger. And it is for you. The message of the manger is quite simple. The baby born this day in the city of David is the Savior of the world. He is Christ the Lord. You will find him in a manger, the eternal Son of the living God, as human as you are. You will find him at a cross, dying as every one of us must die, taking your death into his mighty heart and exchanging it for life. In Christ you find life, won by the forgiveness of God, and warming others as God, for the sake of Christ, loves and forgives you. The manger calls for faith. It takes faith, a lot of it, to believe the baby in the manger is the Savior of the world. At the very edge of unbelief, faith begins by the power of God, with trust in the Son of God, born at Bethlehem and laid in a manger, crucified at Jerusalem outside the city walls, raised from the dead even before the stone had been rolled away from the mouth of the tomb, and now disclosed to be the Savior of all, including you. The shepherds came and found it to be just as the angel had said. There were Mary and Joseph in that stable with the baby lying in a manger. Did the shepherds go out and forget all about it? No, they did not. They looked and recognized the word that had been told them about this child. All who listened to them were amazed by the things that were told them by the shepherds, who kept on telling people how they saw the child lying in the manger. These people believed too, and therefore they spoke. The story of the manger is good news for the whole world. It's good news for you, as it is for me. I bring you good news, said the angel to the shepherds. It's for all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in birthing clothes, lying in a manger. Have faith, my friend. Faith in that baby born. That man who died for the sins of the world, whom God ordained to pass judgment upon the whole world, and at the same time to save all who put their confidence in him. His name is Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He is Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, promised long. He's the baby in the manger, overcoming the bitterness of a world trying to dismiss him with a forlorn and fateful cry, "Away with the manger!" Out of that manger comes the joy and comfort of faith. Away in a manger. No crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Now that's Christmas. The only Christmas our world will ever have. Rejoice, friend. Christmas is just for you. Away in a manger. Amen.